Chapter 13.
There's a harlot,
the Drake woman repeated.
In Bascon? How do you know?
I don't know for sure, I grunted, and squeezed her hands in mine. But I sensed it, just like how I sensed there was something different about you. We snuck into Samilla's quarters and listened to her conversation with the guard, Radisha. Just the way she reacted to the Marchioness, there was something about it that wasn't right. Even the way the Marchioness spoke to her, as if Radisha didn't want to do her duties as a guard. Samilla even mentioned punishing her if she didn't do her job properly.
Wait,
Josephine breathed and raised a hand into the air.
Say that name again. Radisha? Is that correct?
Yes, Radisha. She said she was from the Royal Guard and served under Hortensia Payne. Of course, before Hortensia came to Edenheart and ultimately became... I gestured toward Ryan, and the imp woman giggled happily from her position on the couch. Josephine's hands trembled in mine, and her orange cat-like eyes widened in shock.
What is it?
Edeny asked, stood from her seat, and pressed a comforting hand to her shoulder.
That's not her real name.
The Drake woman laughed in disbelief.
It's a code name. We all have them in the Harlots. Radisha. Airdash. Everyone in the Harlots has a code name based on their powers. And Radisha is none other than a woman named Cecilia Westall. She's originally from the capital, but it seems the queen dispatched her somewhere else.
So, do you know this woman personally?
Cleia asked.
Can we somehow get in touch with her and explain what we're doing here?
I can assume if she's here, then she didn't receive my letter. I sent them out to all of my comrades, and most of them replied within a week or so, but Cecilia was one of those who didn't. I assume that she was either deep undercover, or she'd been captured and ultimately killed.
So what do we do now?
The imp woman asked.
Should we go after her and tell her that we're here? I'm sure if we explained who we are and who Josephine is, she would join our side.
Yes, but first I want to discuss what we found out before we move on to our next course of action.
Yes.
The she-wolf nodded, sat down beside Josephine, and leaned forward with her chin tucked into her palm.
What did you find out, Charles? What did Samilla say? Why are they forcing the aristocrats here to give up all of their wealth and properties? It's similar to what we did with Edenheart, except I doubt their intentions are the same. We wanted to create monster women. What is the purpose of bleeding Bascon dry?
The queendom is struggling. Apparently, troves of harlots attacked the capital and took over one of the boroughs. Primarily, the borough where the merchants sell food and other goods, so the aristocrats living there are starting to starve. The queen asked for all the smaller cities to send money, produce, and all of their consorts and workers. She's building an army to attack them and hopefully get that part of the city back under her control.
That begs the question. What happened to the rest of her army? What has she been doing with them?
I have no idea, but I bet once we get our hands on Samilla, we'll be able to find out.
So?
Daisy clicked her tongue.
What do we do now, Charles?
We plan our attack, I grinned wickedly. The soldiers should arrive by morning, and then we attack. I want to start early in the morning before any of the aristocrats awake. We'll use the monster women first, and we'll have them incapacitate the aristocrats. Then the soldiers will bring them back here. Once Askara arrives tomorrow, I'll instruct him to start the transformation process. I'll show him everything that needs to be done and leave a few vials of my blood.
What will we do, Charles?
The feline woman asked. I let go of Josephine's trembling hands, stood, and crossed to the window to look down at the glittering city off in the distance. My blood pounded in my veins, and my heart hammered against my ribcage, but it wasn't out of anxiety or worry. I was excited. I had more power in the world than any other man, and I would use it to free the rest of my sex. We have to find Cecilia, and tell her everything that's going on. We don't know. There could be more harlots hiding out in the city, and I want to warn them before the real war breaks out. Once the soldiers arrive, I'll station a few monster women and them at the city entrance. They'll take out everyone who attempts to enter or exit.
But we don't know where Cecilia is,
Daisy breathed.
How are we going to find her?
They're raiding part of the town. The royal guards are breaking into homes, arresting aristocrats that haven't given enough money or items to the capital. All we have to do is find a large grouping of aristocrats and look for the red-haired guard. It'll be fairly easy since she's a redhead and the rest of the soldiers are wearing hoods.
Should we head out now?
Valerie asked. Yes, but I'm only bringing Edeny and Josephine this time. Since they're my two augmented monster women, their powers are stronger than yours. I don't want to go out into the open searching for Cecilia when there are guards running around. All of you need to stay here and wait for us. Edeny, did all of you train while we were gone?
Yes, Charles. I taught them a few control techniques and a couple of specialized attacks. They caught on pretty quickly, though they're still a little stiff. I'm sure if they practiced while we're gone, they'd master them.
Good. I want all of you to practice and train. Fill Valerie in on everything you learned and make sure she practices. You know how distracted she gets.
Hey, now! I don't get distracted. I get, sidetracked. There's a difference.
I'm sure there is, I chuckled, bent down and kissed her forehead. We'll be back as soon as we can.
Charles?
Daisy squeaked, stood, and then rifled through our bags on the floor.
Take this with you, for safety.
The bear girl offered me the staff and smiled up at me softly. I reached out for it, and immediately the elemental core glowed and the runes flashed. It was almost as if the staff were alive and was excited to be reunited with its user. I held the cold metal loosely in my hands and then gripped it hard as I turned toward Josephine and Edeny.
Should we put on our disguises again?
The Drake woman asked.
They were uncomfortable,
Edeny muttered.
But we'll wear them if we have to, Charles.
No, I shook my head. It's late, and most of the aristocrats must have gone home by now. But we'll stick to the shadows just in case. If anyone sees us, I'm sure that Josephine can force them to move down the street. Not only that, but most of the nobles out and about at this time of night are drunk. And if they saw two monster women walking down the road, they wouldn't question it for a second.
Oh, very smart.
The she-wolf giggled and pressed herself close to my body.
Now, let's get out of here and find this Cecilia person. Charles, you remember what she looks like, right?
Yes, she has fiery red hair, emerald eyes, and has a tall, athletic build. As I said before, she'll be the only one without a hood, so she should be pretty easy to spot.
Do you know what area of Boscon they'll be raiding in?
Edeny asked, and I shook my head. No, but Edeny, this used to be part of your duchy, right? You said earlier that you know the streets like the back of your hand.
Well, I used to. Before they industrialized, I used to split my time between Edenheart, Boscon, and Granum. But that was before the Queen sent in the Marchioness. Boscon was modeled after Edenheart initially, and if you look at the old layouts of the land, you can see they're based off a grid system just like home.
A grid system? I asked, and opened the door for both of my monster women.
Yes. My ancestors, they were quite before their time, with the city's planning. If you go to the capital, it's similar to Edenheart. But if you go anywhere else where my family wasn't involved, their streets and avenues are messy. The grid system runs at an angle where all the other streets connect. It's not like a maze of side streets and alleyways, just a clean grid from point A to B. But looking at it now, I can barely recognize my old stomping ground. Everything in Boscon used to be orderly and well-routed. It seems that the Queen and Marchioness destroyed all of that once they industrialized everything. I mean, I could probably guide us merely by sense of direction, but it might be a little more difficult than I first thought.
We set off down the hill for the second time tonight, and I stopped on the crest to look out over the city. The air was cold, and I held my coat a little tighter around my body as my women stepped closer. I squinted down at the city's streets and saw what Edeny had just told us about. The grid stretched out over the whole town, but once it got to the middle, the roads were more jumbled and harder to understand.
Look!
The Duchess pointed to my side.
There. You can almost see them. It looks like they're in the 7th borough, or at least that was what it used to be when I controlled the city. You can almost make them out against the darkness, but since they're wearing dark clothing, they look nothing more than dancing shadows than anything else.
I squinted my eyes toward the place where the she-wolf indicated, and for a second didn't see anything against the darkness and pinpricks of light from the street lamps. Then I noticed what Edeny said. shadows moving a little too quickly to be naturally made, and every once in a while, a flash of color danced by as the guards carried out items or the owners of the houses. Let's get down there. We have to find Radisha before dawn breaks. We'll bring her back here with us if she agrees to speak with us. I don't want everything to go down without her knowing. If that happens, she'll be forced to fight against us, and I doubt she'd want to do that. The three of us set off down the hill and moved quickly now that we knew the terrain pretty well. I held both of Edeny's hands tightly in my own and clasped the staff in the other. Josephine ran along behind us with her hand held in Edeny's, so she wouldn't get lost in the dark forest on the way down. Once we made it to the street, the Duchess swiveled her head and sniffed the air. The she-wolf's pointed turquoise-striped ears twitched, and finally the left one pressed against her head as the right changed direction and listened to something off in the distance.
"I can hear them,"
Edeny murmured.
"And just as we thought, they're in the seventh burrow. Let's head that way. I may not know the streets anymore, but I can track them down by scent pretty well. Come, they're down this way."
The Duchess pressed herself pretty close to the side of a building and purposefully walked faster in the scent's direction. Josephine and I quickly followed after her through the maze-like streets. The city was darker now that night had finally set in, and as I'd thought, most of the wandering aristocrats had gone inside for the evening. A few slumped against street lamps with their consorts in tow, but none of them seemed to sense or notice our presence as we hurried past. "Josephine," I uttered under my breath.
"Yes, Charles? What is it?"
"You said that earlier the harlots use code names. Just out of curiosity, why is that? I already know it's probably to hide your real identities, but I'd love to hear more about it."
"As you suspected, it's to conceal ourselves in whatever city we live in. But it's also to keep some autonomy. We never know when an aristocrat will try to break into our ranks and find us out. We have to protect ourselves, so we keep the code names. Generally, we pick them out, and some of them, like Cecilia, are based on their powers."
"I thought there was a book that updated every year that kept the tally of women's powers," I asked. "Couldn't they track you down if they knew what type of power you have?"
"No. There aren't any names. Only the number of women who hold the same or similar powers."
"If you don't mind me asking,"
Edeny broke in, paused to glance around the shadows, and then tiptoed forward.
"What was your code name, Josephine?"
"I'll never tell."
The honey blonde giggled and covered her mouth with one hand.
"Just joking. It's Seraphine."
"That's beautiful," I breathed and glanced over my shoulder at the Drake woman. "Where's it from?"
"It wasn't from anywhere. If I ever had a sibling, my mother wanted to name her that. I thought it would be a great way to honor my mother and keep her legacy going. Seraphine means burning ones in my mother's native language, and that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to burn the ugliness off the earth and build it anew. And here we are, doing just that."
"Maybe we should come up with code names for everyone in the family. Charles can be Daweld."
"Huh?"
the Drake woman asked and tilted her head.
What does that mean?" "Oh, I get it now."
Well-endowed. I assume because I'm well-endowed, correct? "Very clever, but I think we'll stick with our given names for now, thank you. Edeny, how far away do you think we are now? We've gone down quite a few blocks."
"We should be getting pretty close,"
the she-wolf answered, leaned her head back and sniffed at the air.
"Only a few blocks away. The seventh borough is the smallest, therefore the poorest area in the city. So we kept it pretty close to the outskirts of town. It used to house a lot of the red light district, consorts and courtesans, but it seems that aristocrats live there now."
"I don't feel sorry for them," I grumbled under my breath. "But they don't deserve this. I hate the aristocrats and how they treat men. But what the queen is doing is wrong. All of this is wrong."
"Good thing we're here to fix it,"
Edeny grinned. The Duchess glanced around the empty streets and then hurried across with Josephine and me following closely behind. We were closer now. I could feel it in my bones. There was palpable animosity brewing in the air, and it stemmed from all of the guards just a few streets away. It was louder here, too, and when I focused on the sounds echoing down the empty street, I realized what it was. The sound of glass breaking, heavy items being thrown down on the pavement, and the wails of terrified, angry women. Cecilia had to be here somewhere, and we needed to find her as soon as possible. If any of the guards noticed us, we'd be attacked and taken to Samilla. We couldn't let any of that happen, especially not now when we were so close to our first attack on Verskan. The three of us pressed ourselves against the brick of a building and crept closer to the sounds. Other voices were louder now, and I recognized two of them. One was the voice of the guard we'd seen in Samilla's rooms, and the other was Cecilia's. I snuck closer to the corner and peeked out from around it. Guards moved around the houses, lifted their batons, and smashed in storefronts. Aristocrats raced around with their hands pressed to their terrified faces and screamed for someone to stop them. One of the buildings farther down the street was on fire, and the flames blazed wildly toward the black sky. It was chaos, utter chaos. I'd only ever seen a scene like this once before, and it was probably the night that nobles of Edenheart went out and burned the Duchess's mercantile. I searched the teeming crowd for Cecilia and panicked when I couldn't find her. But suddenly the throng parted and the redhead stepped out. The guard held a wicked-looking riding crop tightly in her hands and struck out at any passing aristocrat. She seemed so different than before, like a completely different person, and I questioned if my hunch was really true or if I'd imagined it. Then I noticed something. As the guard moved to hit an aristocrat with the crop, she pulled back at the last second and the weapon passed through the air. The wicked tip of the riding crop never actually touched any of the nobles. Even when a consort burst through the crowd, she chased after him, but her attempts were feeble and fake. There was no way she wasn't a harlot. But if she wasn't, I'd whisk her away to the caravan and transform her. All we had to do now was lure her away from the crowd.
"I have an idea,"
Josephine uttered, and shouldered her way to the front.
"There are certain phrases that all harlots learn and have to memorize. Let's see if this works."
The drake woman lowered herself closer to the ground, steadied herself against the brick wall, and then cupped her hands around her mouth. The honey blonde settled her orange cat-like eyes onto the woman in question, and then shouted above all of the noise.
"Rexham!"
Josephine shrieked.
"Hilfmeyer! Die Führer!"
Across the street, Cecilia's back snapped straight as an arrow, and her emerald eyes widened out of shock and fear. No one else seemed to notice Josephine's voice, and the guard turned in place as she searched for the speaker.
"Help!"
the honey blonde called.
"Schwester! Heal Truben!"
"What are you saying?"
Edeny whispered.
"That I need help,"
Josephine repeated.
"I called her sister and referred to her as a harlot. I told her to come here. She should understand those meanings."
Cecilia glanced around at the other guards and bit her lip nervously. For a second, I thought she wouldn't come, but once she made sure that nobody was looking, Cecilia followed the voice she'd heard. I ushered Edeny and Josephine into a dark alley and then gestured toward Josephine to call to the guard again.
"Schwester! Heal Truben!"
We waited for what seemed like hours for Cecilia to appear, and suddenly the redhead peered down the darkened alley toward us. The guard glanced over her shoulder at the carnage happening before her very eyes, and then she stepped a little closer.
"Who are you?"
the redhead asked and squinted through the darkness.
"I'm a friend,"
Josephine murmured.
"Or I think I am. Are you who I think you are? Cecilia?"
"How do you know that name?"
the guard barked. "You're a harlot, aren't you?" I asked, stepped forward, and gazed at her evenly. "That's how you were able to understand what she said to you. Isn't that correct?"
"I don't know what you're talking about."
The guard shook her head and took a step backward.
I didn't hear anything."
"You did," I nodded, and stepped even closer. "That's why you came over here to investigate. We know what you are, and we don't mean you any harm."
"Your name is Cecilia, isn't it? But you go by Radisha. Airdash, right? You have super speed, correct?"
"How do you know these things? What do you want from me? Are you trying to extort me? Are you going to go to Samilla or even the Queen? Don't come near me. I'll kill you. My secret cannot get out. I've lived underground for too long to see it end this way."
"We're not here to kill you,"
Edeny chuckled, leaned against the brick wall, and examined her fingernails.
"We're here to warn you and help you. And maybe you can help us in return."
"What are you talking about? What do you mean?"
My name is Josephine, but you probably know me by another name, a code name through letters. Seraphine. You recognize that, don't you? I can see it in your eyes. You do, Cecilia.
Seraphine? You mean the daughter of the leader of the Harlots?
When she said the last bit, the redhead leaned forward and whispered. The honey blonde nodded and opened her arms wide. Suddenly, the clouds covering the moon parted, and light flooded down onto us. Cecilia's eyes widened as she spied Josephine's horns and whipping tail. Then the redhead took a tentative step forward.
What are you? You're not human, are you?
I'm a monster woman now. I was transformed by this man. The love of my life.
Cecilia, listen. We're on your side. Josephine is a harlot, and she joined my forces. There's going to be a war, men and monster women against the aristocrats. It's time to end the male suffering.
What do you mean? A war? What?
We're rising against them. After so many years, and Briscan is the second target in our mission.
What? I don't understand any of this.
I created monster women by accident. I'm a scientist and doctor by trade. I was hired by Edeni, the Duchess of Edenheart, to create super soldiers for her to attack the Queen. Edeni had her own reasons at the time, but I didn't know, nor did I care to learn. I built the machine she asked for, but the experiments never worked until I added in two new factors. The first monster woman came into existence shortly after. Before long, my family grew and grew, but the society around us never changed. We decided that we no longer wanted to live in a world that was made only for the comfort of women. I took over Edenheart easily and swiftly, and now I'm going to do the very same with Briscan. We saw you earlier, and I sensed that there was something about you, something not like the nobles of the city. You're a harlot, aren't you, Cecilia?
Yes.
The guard bowed her head and closed her eyes for half a second.
I am. I joined when I was 15, and I've been a loyal agent since then. I fight for the things I believe in, and that's why I believe that all men and women are born equal.
Oh, we believe that too.
Edeni chuckled.
Do you know who I am? Do you recognize my face? You look like Edeni, the Duchess of Edenheart. But that can't be true. You hated men more than anyone I ever met. And yet here I am. A monster woman, too. I fight for Charles and the equality of all men. My body has changed as much as my beliefs have. Why did you seek me out? What can I do for you? I am just a god trapped under Samila's thumb.
For one, we wanted to come here and warn you about the coming war. And second, if you agree with our plight, we humbly ask you to join our side. If you don't wish to fight, that's fine. You should leave Briscan tonight if you don't want to fight on their side. If you do, you will be captured by our soldiers and transformed into a monster woman. After that, well, you'll become part of my monster women soldiers and fight along our side.
That's a lot to think over,
Cecilia murmured and twiddled her fingers.
We wouldn't have come out here to warn you if you weren't a harlot. You have two options. Come with us and fight for your beliefs alongside an army of like-minded individuals, or run away with your tail between your legs and hide from the Queen for the rest of your life.
I would have said it a bit kinder and not as blunt.
Josephine chuckled.
But yes, since you're one of my comrades, I wanted to warn you first before anything happens. You don't have to come with us, but we'd love it if you did. Think about it, Cecilia. If you come with us, you'll be a part of a family, and you won't have to hide how you feel about issues. All of us who stand with Charles share the same dream, but with him, we don't have to keep it hidden anymore. Men deserve to be free and live doing whatever they choose.
Cecilia's parted lips tightly clamped shut, and her emerald eyes fell to the dirty ground for a moment as she thought. I sensed her unease, but I wouldn't push her to join us if she didn't want to. All I wanted was to let her know what was coming and give her a chance to escape. If she wanted to come with us and join our fight, then that was entirely her decision, but I wouldn't force her either way. The redhead raised her eyes and stared at me for a long moment. It seemed as if she was trying to figure out if I was a good man or not, or if all this was a trick to lure her out into the open about her beliefs. The guard cleared her throat and then glanced over toward Josephine, then Edeny. Finally, Cecilia raised her head and looked directly into my gaze.
I'll go with you. I'll fight alongside you. If I won't stand up to injustice, then I have the chance. Why the hell did I join the Harlots in the first place? I wanted to leave the guard as soon as I joined it, but I was able to get an inside look into the Queen's operations, so I stayed, even though I hated every moment of it.
Thank you. I bowed my head and then immediately snapped back up with a stern expression. But I need you to prepare yourself. We attack tomorrow, and there might be bloodshed. Our goal is to capture and transform all of the aristocrats in Berskhan. But our eyes rest on Samilla. She is the target of this attack. All of the Marchionesses are our enemies, and we must take them down no matter what.
Good. I wanted to eliminate that bitch from the moment I laid eyes on her. Will you transform her into a monster girl, too?
Yes, I chuckled, and then outstretched my hand to her. Come with us, Cecilia. Tomorrow we destroy Berskhan and take back the control that we deserve.